Yeah, don't hit me. Thanks, Leonard. It's been a couple of weeks since we talked about the book of Acts. We've been journeying through this book. Our district superintendent was with us last weekend for Father's Day. And so let me remind you what we were talking about last time that we were talking about the book of Acts. Peter and John were on their way to the temple for afternoon prayers, which had been about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And as they were making their way from the upper room area of the city into the temple, Luke tells us that at the beautiful gate, which was one of the main gates into the temple, that they met a man who was lame from birth. When he saw Peter and John approaching the gate, there was something about them that caught his attention immediately. Professional beggars seem to have a knack of knowing who might be a good prospect for a handout, who might be a good mark. They don't ask everybody, but they ask the ones that look like they're givers. And when he saw Peter and John about to enter the temple, he asked them for money. Peter and John both looked straight at him, and then Peter said, "Look at us." Now, why did he have to get the attention of this man who had already called out to them? Because he wanted his full attention. Because what was about to happen was important, which is probably more important than just getting a couple of dollars, which was probably all the man expected. He was there getting money to get him through the next day. But Peter had something much more in mind. These spirit-filled disciples sensed a stirring within them. What would Jesus do in that situation? He would have healed the man. Could they? Dare they try? Faith that it would happen began to rise up in them. And as they came eye to eye with this lame beggar, this lame man, the gift of faith was given to them. It was then that Peter spoke those amazing words, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." As Peter reached out and took the man by the hand, a miracle began to happen. The gift of faith was now being released in the gift of healing. The Lord was continuing to heal through his grace-gifted apostles. And so it was that Peter and John discovered that they had been called not only to preach and to teach, but to heal in Jesus' name. When we preach and teach Christ and pray for people's needs, miracles happen. We heard of testimony of Verna, Sharon's aunt, stage 4 liver cancer, gone. People have been praying for her. We pray, and sometimes God says yes, and he brings restoration. We're praying for a miracle for Shannon, that be taken care of as well. Every time we pray in response to God's leading, God intervenes. And so we preach and teach Christ, miracles happen. The greatest miracle, of course, is the transformation of a person from self-centeredness to Christ-centeredness and then to person-centric ministry. Today, God continues to heal not only through the practice of skilled medical professionals, which we give God praise and thanks for, but sometimes through the direct prayer of those who have the gifts of faith, of healing, and the working of miracles. For that to be more the expected than the rare exception, we need to press on to why the lame man was healed. And so that brings us to our text today. So let me read from Acts chapter 3, verses 11 through 16, as we continue our journey through the book of Acts. Acts chapter 3, beginning at verse 11. While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in a place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we made this man walk?" The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one, and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. So here we have the lame man. He drew the attention of the worshipers at the temple. They knew him because they'd seen him in his customary place, perhaps for years. He'd been there every day begging. Now, the Lord had some purposes in healing this man. First, simply because he loved the lame man and released his healing power out of his heart of compassion and concern. Secondly, he wanted to alert the people, particularly the leaders of Israel, that the movement that he'd begun as Jesus of Nazareth was now going to continue through his disciples in whom he was now living. During his time on earth, Jesus had healed people simply because he loved them, but also as a sign of his authority and power as the Messiah. The healing of this lame man was an undeniable further sign that though he had returned to his Father in heaven, he was still alive and working through his disciples. Once again, he had Jerusalem's attention. The rushing wind of Pentecost a few days before was the talk of the city, and here the wind was still blowing. But now the Lord had chosen and called and convinced people through whom he was about to work. They became like wind tunnels through whom his force was focused. They most of all needed to know that he had meant it when he said, "Until now you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." John 16:24. The gifts of the Lord's Spirit were being manifested in a confirmation of Pentecost. The church had discovered that the power and passion of the wind and fire was given to them for a needy, paralyzed world. Peter's sermon to the greatly amazed crowd was really an exposition of a miracle. Peter saw the opportunity and he went straight to the need. The people needed to know that neither he nor John had healed this man. He pointed away from the two of them to the one who had been the author of the healing. Peter said, "Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or our godliness we made this man walk?" Notice the two qualities that he picked out. These were two qualities that the Jews held as their greatest source of pride, if you will: moral impeccability and religious diligence. Could either of those heal this man? Not at all. And Peter made it clear that there was no human piety or perfection that had made this miracle possible. He went on to explain who had done this miracle. Peter began with the basics. He said, first of all, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. In verse 16, Peter explains that it was by faith in the name of Jesus that this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that had completely healed him. And they said, as you can all see. Sometimes seeing is believing. When you see the result of God reaching down and touching and healing and restoring a person, there is no denying. We can preach and teach and do all kinds of tell all kinds of stories, but when people see the power of God and the results that that has in a person's life, there's no denying it. Faith in the name. That's the secret of this lame man's healing. And it's the secret of unlocking all power in heaven and earth. It's Jesus' name that carries the authority and the power that's released by Jesus' followers. The Spirit that had given Peter the gift of faith. There's no record of Peter using the word faith before that day, not even in his message on Pentecost morning. But this was a new word that he had heard in Christ's teaching, which now had been given to him as a gift by the Spirit. When we pray in the name of Jesus, faith in him opens us in any person or situation needing healing to that power. I've discovered over the years when I expect God's touch upon somebody, when I have faith that he will answer in the positive, it's much more often true than when I come with lack of faith. When I pray just because I'm the pastor, I'm supposed to, and I really don't think anything's going to happen. Oh, did I just confess that sometimes happens? Sometimes I'm not full of faith, but when I am full of faith, God seems to work more so. So pray that my faith gets built up. I don't know why I said that, but anyway. Once again, as in his first sermon, Peter faithfully draws the net. There's a sensitive compassion in the gracious acceptance of the people's ignorance, but that does not lessen the need for a response. We sense Peter's longing that people receive the same gift of faith that he has received. There's a warning and a clarification of the danger of one more refusal. The apostle ends with a reminder of how much the Lord wants to bless them. What does it all mean for us today? Can it still happen? Acts 3 is not a description of a one-time, never-to-be-repeated period in the Holy Spirit's activity in the world. The great debilitating delusion is that the gifts of faith and healing and working miracles ended with the apostolic age. Not so. The Lord's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The needs of people are not essentially changed. What he did through his Spirit living in people, just like you and me, Peter and John were just ordinary guys, he wants to do today. The Spirit of the resurrected Lord is the healing power of the world. There's no healing that takes place apart from him. Even though often he's not, whether he's acknowledged or thanked by the majority of people, that healing power is still available to Christians today through the Spirit's gift of healing for physical, emotional, personal, interpersonal needs in our lives and the people for whom he guides us to pray. First, we're to pray in order to know what to ask for and then to ask with the gift of confident faith. And so I'd ask each of you, have you ever asked for the gift of healing? We have not because we ask not. The title of this morning's message is Why Do Healing Ministry? Most of the time when we think of healing ministry, we think of physical healing. And God does bless with physical healing. But there's something far greater that needs to be dealt with, and that is sin. Jonah tried to run from his sin, as you know, but the only thing he proved is you can't run fast enough or far enough to hide your sins. King David proved that we can't try to hide our sins. Ananias and Sapphira lost their lives because they tried to lie their way out of their sins. We can't hide, we can't run, we can't lie our way out. God will not allow even the smallest sin into heaven, so it must be dealt with. It's a problem that many try to avoid. It's a problem that we don't like to face. But it's a problem that I'm going to ask you to think about today. What will you do about your sin? Peter didn't say, repent and you'll be healthy and wealthy, as many of the prosperity preachers of the day promise. They don't even mention repentance. What Peter promised was something better than that. He promised that we can have our sins completely blotted out. Erased. I don't know about you, but I think that's good news. There are many who are hungry for something that the world can't offer. They know the answer is found in Jesus, but they believe that they need to be perfect in order to be accepted by him. How many people are hungry for something better? Let me tell you about a place that serves up a meal that you won't believe. This is I'll call it an apocryphal story, if you will. I found this story the other day, and it goes like this. I shook my head in disbelief. This couldn't be the right place. After all, I couldn't possibly be welcome here. I'd been given an invitation several times by several different people, and I finally decided to see what this place was all about. But it just couldn't be the right place. I glanced down at the invitation in my hand. I saw the words, "Come as you are." I looked in the window again and saw a room of people whose faces seemed to glow with joy. All were neatly dressed, adorned in fine garments as they dined at this exquisite restaurant. Ashamed, I looked down at my own tattered and torn clothing, covered in stains. I was dirty, in fact, I was filthy. A foul smell seemed to consume me, and I couldn't shake the grime that hung to my body. As I turned around to leave, the words from the invitation seemed to leap out at me. "Come as you are, no jacket required." I decided I had nothing to lose, I'll give it a shot. I mustered up every bit of courage I could find. I opened the door to the restaurant and walked up to the man standing behind a podium. "Your name, sir?" he asked with a smile. "Jimmy Lee," I mumbled. I didn't look up. I thrust my hands deep into my pockets, hoping to conceal the dirt and the stain on them. He didn't seem to notice the filth at all that I was covered in, and he continued, "Very good, sir. Table's been reserved in your name. Would you like to be seated?" I couldn't believe what I heard. He led me to a table, and sure enough, there was a place card with my name written on it in deep, dark red. As I browsed over the menu, there were so many delightful items listed. There were things like peace, joy, blessings, confidence, assurance, hope, love, faith, and mercy. I realized then that this was no ordinary restaurant. I flipped the menu back to the front in order to see where I was. God's Grace was the name of this place. The man returned and said, "I recommend the special of the day. With it, you're entitled to heaping portions of everything on the menu." "You've got to be kidding," I thought to myself. "You mean I can have all of this?" "What's the special of the day?" I asked, with excitement in my voice. "Salvation," was his reply. "I'll take it." Tears filled my eyes. Between the sobs, I said, "Mister, look at me. I'm dirty and nasty. I'm unclean, unworthy of such things. I'd love to have all of this, but I just can't afford it." Undaunted, the man smiled again. "Sir, your check has already been taken care of by that gentleman over there," he said, pointing to the front of the room. "His name is Jesus." Turning, I saw a man whose very presence seemed to light the whole room. He was almost too much to look at. I found myself walking towards him, and in a shaking voice, I whispered, "Sir, I'll wash the dishes or sweep the floors or take out the trash. I'll do anything I can to repay you for all of this." He opened his arms and said with a smile, "Son, all of this is yours if you'll just come to me. Ask me to clean you up, and I will. Ask me to take away the stains, and it's done. Ask me to allow you to feast at my table, and you'll eat. Here's what I want you to remember. There's a table already reserved in your name. All you must do is accept this gift that I offer." Astonished, I fell at his feet and said, "Please, Jesus, please clean up my life. Please change me and sit me at your table and give me this new life." Immediately I heard the words, "It is finished." I looked down and white robes adorned my squeaky clean body. Something strange and wonderful had happened. I felt new, like a weight had been lifted, and I found myself seated at his table. The special of the day had been served. The Lord said to me, "Come back as often as you like for another helping of God's grace." He made it clear that he wanted me to spend as much time as possible with him. And as it drew time for me to go back outside into the real world, he whispered to me, "I'm with you always, Then he said something to me I'll never forget. He said, "My child, do you see these empty tables throughout this room?" "Yes, Lord, I see them. What do they mean?" He replied, "These are reserved tables. The individuals whose names are on each placard have not accepted their invitations to dine. Would you be so kind as to hand out invitations?" "Of course I will." And I picked up the invitations. I walked into God's grace, dirty and hungry, stained with sin. My righteousness was like a pile of filthy rags. Jesus had cleaned me up. I walked out a brand new man, robed in white, covered in his righteousness. And so I'll keep my promise to my Lord. I'll go, I'll spread the word, I'll share the gospel. I'll hand out invitations. And I'll start with you. Have you been to God's grace? There's a table reserved in your name. And here's your invitation. Come as you are. No jacket required. Let's pray. Father, if there be someone here this morning who needed to hear that story, need to hear that invitation, I pray that by your Spirit that you would touch their heart, touch their spirit today and say, "Come to me." That you would draw them by the power of your Spirit into the household of faith. Would you pour out your grace upon them today? Then, Father, too, we pray for those that may be here this morning and need healing, whether it be physical, emotional, spiritual healing, that they would be brave enough and bold enough to come and ask us to pray for them. Lord, this lame man asked for money, but he got so much more. He was healed by your grace. And we pray, Father, that others would faithfully come and you'd be faithful to touch them and restore them today. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.